How's everyone doing? Good. How are you? Woo. It's good to see all y'all. All y'all, can you turn this down a little bit, Senor? Thank you. I don't know why, and I've been telling everyone this too, so like if you've heard it, then I'm just saying it again, because I like sharing things all the time. But I've been, like I think 3 months ago, I started drinking like a lot of water. And I mean, it's a good thing, I think. I mean, it's a good thing to drink a lot of water. You should drink a lot of water. But I like have to use the restroom like every couple of hours now, and I have to like constantly be drinking water, because if I don't drink water for like an hour and a half, my mouth gets like really, really dry, and especially like if you gotta like, you know, talk to people and speak, it's just gets kind of annoying. So I like that I'm always drinking water, but I don't like that I'm always thirsty. So it happens, right? I guess in a similar fashion, let's get spiritual. In a similar fashion, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more hungry you get for his presence. I guess in the same way where like the more water I'm having, the more I need water, and the more I'm always want to have water. And it's like the same thing when I'm in the presence of God. It's like I want it constantly, constantly, constantly. And here's, and don't laugh at me, okay? But, you know, because you have to use the restroom constantly, you know, you're letting go of some stuff, right? Okay, right? It's the same thing. You get filled up with God, not so that you can keep it, but so that you can love people. You get filled up with the presence of God so you can touch the next person and they can feel the presence of God. What you got filled with comes out of you. Does that make sense? And so if we're constantly filling ourselves up with like trashy movies and trashy music and all these things, you know, that's what's going to come out. What we watch and what we listen to goes straight into our heart, and from the heart the mouth speaks. Or another proverb is, you know, protect your heart for all diligence, for out it flows. You know, when you drink water, it flows, right? Out of it flow the issues of life. Or another translation says the boundaries of life, your reach, your influence. What you do with your life dictates what you pour into your heart. Right. You guys all here? If you guys haven't met me, by the way, my name is Joel. I'm one of the youth leaders here. I'm great. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. So that's one thing that we should really really consider and think about as we choose the media that we pour into our lives. A few weeks ago, we had a two-week series on social media, and we saw like how, you know, when whatever you're watching or whatever you pour into yourself will affect not only your perspective, but like how you feel. And things of that sort. And in the last few weeks, we've also talked about, you know, having the right kind of friends, because friends pour into you. Friends will pour into you. And whether it's a good pouring or it's a bad pouring, they're pouring into you. We were, on Monday, we listened to a teaching with the interns, and this guy said something really, 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 like, I was like, wow, like, it just makes you think. But he said, your life is a reflection of the five people you spend the most time with. It's like, oh my gosh. And what is that? That's, you're spending time with people, and they're pouring into you, and so when you spend time with other people, that's what flows out. That's, thank you, man. Thank you. Say it again. You see how it feels like? Does that make sense, everyone?
Yeah.
I'm seeing some blank stares. Oh gosh. So that was not in my notes, that was just on my heart. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you that you are an amazing, amazing God. I thank you that we're here, Father, to listen for ourselves. What you want to say to us, God. That we're here desperate for you, Lord. Desperate for you. You are an amazing God, and you withhold nothing from us. And if there's anything that you withhold, it's because we want you, it's because you want us to seek you and know more of you. I thank you that you're a good God that continues to lead us to the life that not only are we called to live, but the life that will satisfy us the most. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. That's so funny. Yeah. It's my second bottle, actually. I have like two bottles right here. Yeah, I'm like halfway through my second one. That's funny, actually. So in my prayer, I've shared this with a couple of you, but in the past few weeks, I've I've just been praying and seeking God about certain situations, and I felt like God wasn't giving me the answer, and it's kind of frustrating because, you know, like, God usually gives me answers to the things I ask. He's a good father. But I felt like I wasn't getting an answer for, like, certain situations. And as I was praying, I felt, it is so funny because the Holy Spirit likes to quote me. And things that, because, I mean, I speak on Wednesdays, you know, here, like, once a month, right? And it's just funny because the Holy Spirit quoted me because I was praying and I was, yeah, I'll show you why. Well, I'll tell you why. So I was praying, I was like, God, like, why aren't I getting the answer? And I've had the Holy Spirit say, sometimes the deeper questions of life require a deeper relationship with God. And I was like, oh, that is good. I was like, I said that like 3 weeks ago. And I'm praying. And I'm like, God, I need an answer. What do I do? I need an answer. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, right now you're really desperate for an answer from me, so you're seeking me daily. You're worshiping daily. You're reading the Bible daily. You're doing everything you can because you want an answer. If I give you the answer, are you going to stay desperate for me?
Oh, there it is. Come on, somebody.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I said that 2 Sundays ago. Like, the Holy Spirit's like getting me on things that I say. That's good accountability right there. That is such good accountability. Like, Holy Spirit's like, hey, are you going to practice what you preach? It's so great. Listen. If you guys don't have an active relationship with the Holy Spirit, get into one, like, right now. I cannot tell you how much. It is so crazy, because when the Holy Spirit convicts you, like, it's exciting. It's not like, oh my gosh, I suck. Oh my gosh, I messed up. It's like the Holy Spirit, like, for example, some of you guys heard my testimony about the first fruits for, like, your tithe, right? So, like, you know, Joaquin was talking about tithes and offerings earlier. And I will admit to you, I mean, I admit it on Sunday, but tithes and offerings, like, my tithe wasn't, like, the first fruit. It was always one of the first fruits. Does that make sense? And so, like, I would get paid, and, like, maybe I'd buy, like, a meal, or maybe I'd go get something at Target. Any Target lovers around here? And, right? But it would always be, like, one of the first things I do. And then, a few weeks ago, and I think I had, like, the same testimony, because I've heard, like, my testimony said by other people, to be honest, because they have the same experience, and it's so awesome. But I remember I was sitting, like, in the front row, because that's where we should sit, and Pastor Drew was, he was speaking on, like, this tithe, and about how it needs to be the first fruits, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, is like, hey, you're not doing that, and I felt no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. I was, like, excited. I was, like, stoked. I'm like, next paycheck, first thing. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I starve. First thing I'm going to do. Amen. And I don't want to get into it, but, like, God is, like, blessing me, like, financially. Like, I'm like, whoa, God. Listen, you guys cannot outgive God.
Oh, no.
And obeying God will always be beneficial to you. Always, 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 always. Every single time you obey God, two things will happen. One, the blessings will come. But two, you get closer to him. That's how we draw near to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. There's a correlation there. And listen, we don't obey the commandments so that we can get closer to him. Because we want to get closer to him, the commandments are obeyed. Does that make sense? The actions and obedience flow from relationship, not the other way around. Relationship doesn't flow from the actions, because then becomes a religion where my actions dictate whether I'm close to God or not, or my actions dictate whether God accepts me or not. Does that make sense? It's the other way around. Because God has loved us so much, because he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us, because he's blessed us even when we didn't deserve it, out of that relationship and out of that love does that transformation happen in our lives. It's out of that love and that relationship that we want to obey, that we want to give the first fruits, that we want to come to church and be in his presence, that we want to read the Bible. I should really start with my notes now, to be honest. So tonight, I'm going to drink some more water. So tonight I want to talk about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus was the perfect example of how to love the Father. Jesus was a perfect example of how to love the Father. Jesus was a perfect example of how to live life glorifying the Father. That was his number one mission. His number one mission was to show the world who their Father is. His number one mission. Because if I can, because Jesus is like, if I can introduce you to the Father is going to validate you. He's going to give you value. He's going to give you mission and purpose. And it's going to propel you to be everything that he has created you to be. His number one mission was to introduce you individually, not like individually. Jesus did it specifically for you so you can know who your Father is. Everything Jesus did, it pointed to the Father, everything he did. And what really gets to me is how Jesus lived and how he lived. Let's go to scripture first. How about that? Turn to Romans chapter 12. You guys have heard this over and over and over again, but do not tune out. Listen. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a, what's that word? A living sacrifice. Holy, we're going to stay right here, brother. Brother? Your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I like that. Oh, this isn't part of it, but I like that word reasonable. I feel like that fits the theme of so far how we've talked about how the works, like obeying God, comes out of that relationship. It's something that this year, like, God has been speaking to me, like, all the time, where it's like Jesus did all of these things for us. He showed us the way. He showed us how to pray. He showed us how to fast. He showed us all these things of how to get connected with the Father. And then he gave his life for us so that we can now enter into that relationship through him. He gave us everything we need for, like, prosperity, to be not, and I'm not talking about happiness, like a superficial happiness, but to have, like, a joy and a purpose and value. To have, like, does anybody here want to live a life where, like, you always have peace and things that happen around you don't affect you? Where, like, your emotions don't affect you. You know that you are not your emotions. Oh, my gosh. I don't know who said this, but I wrote it down on my binder, and, like, I love this. This is, like, one of my favorite quotes ever. Your emotions are not the voice of God. It was like, your emotions are not the voice of God. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's God. So Jesus, forgive me, Lord. So Jesus, your name's not Joe. My cousin's Joe. What was I saying? Jesus. I'm going to say Jesus. So Jesus shows us the way, and at the end of his life, he gives willingly for us, for the joy set before him, he gives his life for every single one of us, knowing that many of us will not. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Many people will be like, Jesus, I did so many things for you. Oh, my gosh. Just give me a moment, okay? I got to collect my thoughts here. Let me finish with this first. And at the end of his life, Jesus literally gives his life for us. So that just to give us the opportunity, not a guarantee, because there's people who are rejecting him every day, but to give us the opportunity to walk into this amazing life where we live in him and through him. And it's like an amazing life, guys. So amazing when the creator of the universe lives inside of you. And I'm not saying that as like a weirdo or like it's fake. Like, no, like I can tell you testimonies, Sheila can tell you testimonies, Pastor Simon can tell you testimonies of like how God has shown himself true and real. And I know many of you guys have felt that too. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so this, like, Jesus did all of these things for us, and the only reasonable thing to do, the only thing that makes sense, is to give everything back to him. You keep saying this during prayer sometimes, Pastor Paul, is you're quoting someone. You're saying that you want to give, you want the lamb to receive the reward for a suffering? Is that what it is? What is it?
The Lamb of God
will receive
the
word. Right. that Jesus would receive everything that he died for. And he died for you. Not for half of you, not for a quarter of you, not for 99.99% of you. For all of you. If you guys read the book of John, constantly he's praying, I wish that you and me would be one, just as me and the Father are one. He wants to be in complete unity. And it's amazing because Jesus did that. He was in complete unity with the Father. Go to John chapter 8, verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. Listen, Jesus said, I have a lot of things I want to say. If anybody got frustrated at people, I'm pretty sure Jesus got frustrated at people. When he's trying to show them who the Father is, and they're like, ah, we're going to kill you. It could be kind of frustrating. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus had complete unity with the Father. So back to Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to by the mercies of God, to present yourselves. You put it up there, man. Present yourselves as your bodies. Brother? Brother? Jorjito? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I've never thought about this, and it came to me when Shayla was preaching last week, and she talked about Jesus and how he was in the garden, and how he was praying, and he was pouring out himself before God the Father, and here was my thought process. It was like, wow, Jesus was out there, and he was being real with God. He was like, God, I don't want to do this, but nonetheless, my will. Not my will, but your will, God. And so he, and I just love it because, like, if you look at Jesus' prayers, like, it's very, like, the center of it is, God, I'm going to do whatever, no matter what, it's your will, not mine. It's so good. And so my thought process was, like, Jesus went to the garden, and he knew that he was going to be the sacrifice. He, in that moment, he sacrifices his will for his Father's will. And then my mind was like, wait. Jesus was a perfect example of a living sacrifice. He had a lot of things he wanted to say, but he didn't say it because he wanted to make sure that the Father said it first. He had a lot of things he wanted to do, but he didn't do them because he wanted to know that the Father wanted him to do it first. Did I say that right? I think I said it right. Jesus was a living sacrifice. And I was like, oh my gosh. Jesus wasn't just submitted in that moment of, God, not my will, but your will. But his whole life was, God, not my will, but yours. And for those of us who say we believe in God and who say we're Christians, I think many of us are good at saying, God, not my will, but your will, on Wednesdays and on Sundays, but not so much on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's like, God, not my will, but your will on these days or in these times. But when I'm at work, God, understand, people frustrate me. Listen, our lives would look radically different if on a moment-by-moment basis we chose his will and not our will. I was talking to a good friend a couple of days ago, and I was telling her about, like, you know, like, you growing up as a kid, like, you love superhero movies, and I, like, super identify with, like, superhero movies. And there's, like, this common theme in, like, superhero movies where, like, I can think of, like, so many movies where, like, the hero does not, like, the hero has to sacrifice something in order to be a hero. Whether it's he doesn't get the girl or he has to give his life. Like, there's so many movies where, like, the hero dies and everyone's like, oh, he died. And, like, comes back alive, but he gave his life, right? And it's, like, I hope you guys know what I'm talking about here if you guys like superhero movies. But there's a strong correlation between being a hero and sacrificing something. You guys notice that? Like, if you want to be a hero, like, you can't get married or whatever it might be. I'm thinking about Spider-Man. Like right now, I'm just thinking like he can't be with Mary Jane because if people know who she is, then she's gonna die, and we don't want that. We don't want that. Or he doesn't want that. And it's like that. It's like that. But like they make that decision. The heroes make the decision to be that sacrifice or to sacrifice that thing, whatever it may be, to be the hero. They make that sacrifice because their calling and their destiny is more important than what they want. What if we lived our life putting a value on our destiny and what we're called to do rather than the things we want to do or the things we want to enjoy? Is this making sense? And we won't go over it, but and I think it's in Mark. Actually, it's in a couple of Gospels. But Jesus tells the disciples, like, hey, like, we've had a long day. We've done a lot. We're going to get in the boat. We're going to go to a solitary place, and we're going to rest. We're going to get some rest, right? Anybody here need some rest? I slept so good last night. I had a 14-hour day yesterday, and I got home, and it was just like, I slept good. But, I mean, anyways, not the point. So Jesus, he's with his disciples. He's like, hey, like, let's go, and we're going to go rest, and, you know, before we, you know, continue on with our mission. And so they get in the boat, and the multitudes, which means more than you can count, the multitudes heard where they were going. And before they got to the other side, they're like, oh my gosh, they found this. They left the multitudes, and when they got to where they were going, they were there waiting for him. My gosh. Keep in mind, they're leaving to be alone. They're leaving because they need some rest. And here's what the Bible says, that when Jesus saw them, he looked at them, and he saw them as a people without a shepherd, without a leader. And the Bible says that he had compassion. I don't know about you, but and it's so crazy. And then he preached, he healed them of all their diseases, infirmities, and then he fed them all. It led into the feeding of the 5,000. He fed all of them. Jesus sacrificed any rest, any moment of peace. I'm not saying he didn't have peace. I'm just saying Jesus was human too. His body was tired. All right, his body was tired. We see that when the story with the woman at the well, he was tired and he was hungry, so he sat down. Jesus can sit down and rest, okay? Don't get crazy on me. But instead of resting and just chilling out and hanging out, he has compassion, and he's moved to be that hero that everyone needs. He sacrifices any comfort and any rest to continue to walk in his calling. Listen, guys, every single one of us in this room, we have a calling and we have a destiny. And every day we have a choice whether we're going to walk in our calling and destiny or we're just going to do what we want. I don't know about you guys, but I want to fulfill everything that God has called me to do. Here's the Bible says, before the foundations of the world, God had a plan for your life. And that's not fancy poetry. That's not just like fiction. Like, no, that's real, guys. That's real. But the spiritual, guys, is more real than the natural. All right, we're doing good. We're doing great. I'm doing good. Are you guys doing good? Great. Oh my gosh, here we go. You guys ready? Let's not get confused. So many of us, oh my gosh, okay. I'm going to be completely transparent with you guys, okay? Completely transparent. Well, that's not helping. It's not helping. That's not helping. Now I don't want to be transparent, to be honest. I feel like there's like this expectation. But how many of you guys know that God is good? God is really good. God is so good. I was talking to someone, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks ago, and they told me about a struggle with lust that they have. And they were telling me, like, like, yeah, like, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm trying, because, like, I know God doesn't want to be like this, so I'm trying, because I don't want to upset God, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, like, and so just from talking to him, I told him, like, well, I really think you got to change your mentality, because when I dealt with that issue, I had that same mentality of, like, I got to get rid of it, and what happens is that you focus more on the issue than the answer. And so what I told him, like, this is how I got set free. This is how I got out of it. I didn't focus so much on getting rid of it for God, but I pursued God with everything I had. My focus was, I need to get closer. And listen. I almost slipped. You're not smart. This is a side note, okay, because this is really fundamental to, like, our church, and if you have a problem with it, come talk to me after service, and we'll talk about it. But if you have a phone that's not protected from pornography, it's you're dumb, all right? If you have a computer that's not protected, you're dumb. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're free or if you're not free. You don't even want Satan to just throw. It doesn't matter if you're free. Like Satan, like it. Look, listen. 30 years ago, you had to find pornography. Today, pornography finds you. It finds you. It gets in your face. So I told him, honestly, what it sounds like is that you're focusing so much on the issue. You're focused on getting rid of the issue for God, and you're forgetting to do it through God. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But I told him that this is how I got set free, is that I went after God with everything I had. I had that desperation. But I started to seek him. Not because of what I wanted him to do, but because I desired to know him more. I desired to be more like him. You know, I guess told you that, you know, you're a representation of the five people you hang out with. Number one should be Jesus. Listen, guys, read your Bible. Everywhere Jesus went, change and transformation happened. Whether good or bad. And I believe we all have hearts of David, that we're people after God's heart. And so if you make that commitment today to go after God's heart, transformation is going to happen. And so when I got out of this lust issue, it wasn't an instantaneous thing, but it fell off as I got into his presence. And as I stayed in his presence. And let me be a little bit more transparent with you. When I wasn't consistent with being in his presence, those temptations would come back stronger. See? Yeah. So here's my point. I think many times we have this mentality that if we're doing things for God, we have a relationship with him. Like let's take that young man, for example. I want to get rid of lust, but I can't get rid of it. Or another example is I come to church, so I have a relationship with him. Here's my point. I think I keep saying that. Here's my point. Point. We cannot do things for Christ. There's no power in anything that we can do, guys. There's no power. We have to do everything through Christ. Put up Philippians. I'll show you. And you guys have all seen this so many times. On a bunch of, like, arms and legs probably, too. Am I right? Thank you. On a bunch of arms and legs. I've seen a lot of people. Actually, no, probably more on shoulders. I can do. Sure. I'm sure some of them are athletes. Some of them might not be. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me? Through Christ. It doesn't say I can do all things for Christ. Doesn't say I can do all things for Christ. There's a difference in doing things for Christ and doing things through Christ. You cannot get out of lust for Christ. You can only get out of lust through Christ. You cannot find peace and understanding outside of Christ. You got to do it through Christ. And if we made a decision to do everything through Christ, I promise you, your life would be 100 million times better. Here's the thing, though. You can't do things through Christ unless you're in Christ. You got to be in his presence. You got to know him. The worship band can come up. Por favor. So I have a question for you guys tonight. Not a question, but we'll have an altar call. PT, do you want to? Okay. Hi. Yeah. Can dim the lights. Can set the mood. It's a good time to set the mood, right? It's a good time to set the mood. It's a good time to move this podium, too. Joaquin. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Jesus, we come before you today, and my prayer for all of us, Lord, is that we just have a change of perspective, Lord. That we have a change of mindset. That we make a decision this night that we want to go after your heart with everything that we have, God. That we make a decision in our heart that we're gonna live, that we're gonna be that living sacrifice. And daily we will choose your will and not our own. And I thank you, God, that we recognize that when we choose your will, that we choose life. That when we choose your will, we're choosing blessings. We're choosing protection. When we choose your will, we're choosing wisdom. We're choosing peace. Lord, for just hearts being changed tonight, Father. I thank you for transformation happening in this place. I thank you for relationships with the Holy Spirit either starting or being strengthened tonight, Lord. I thank you that we're more conscious of your Spirit than we are of our social media. We're more conscious of your Holy Spirit than we are of our friends. People who don't just say that we love you, Father, but that our life is an expression of who you are in us. Let our lives reflect, God, the calling and the destiny that you've placed on our lives, Father.